Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon. But there's such a difference between starting something and finishing something. I'm going to talk about our second week here of prayer and fasting. Both are important, starting well and finishing well. We want to start well and we want to finish well. When you start a race, you want to do well coming out of the blocks, but you also want to do well as you cross the finish line. I love the phrase where it talks about that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. We can look at a lot of examples, though, of people who have, not just in the realm of faith, but people who have started well and haven't finished so well. We can also look at people who didn't have such a great start, but finished really well. It's somehow this in-between time, though, that is important from when we start and when we finish. It's not just about how we start and how we finish. It's about this in-between time. I love that even reading a book, whether it's a fictional story, a novel, it's not just about the beginning and how it ends, if it starts good and how, if it ends well. It's about what happens in the in-between. And I like another book that we love, God's Word. We see the beginning in the garden. It's this beautiful picture, and we see this at the end in the book of Revelation, this beautiful picture of how things end. But it's not just about the beginning and the ending. All in between, even though there's some pretty difficult stories in the Bible and the story, but it is the story of redemption and how important it is, not just the beginning and the end, but what happens in between. So we think about those who are grieving right now about LJ and Peter and about Ibu and Victoria, their families. You know, I was thinking about my own family, how when my mom passed away back in 97 and we buried her, my dad had placed on her grave the grave marker that had her name on it, but he would also be buried in that location. And so it has his name on it, you know, her name, and then the date, the year of her birth and the year of her death. My dad's name, the year of his birth, and a dash. And we waited 20 years. I mean, not waited, like, it's not like that. It took 20 years to put 2017 on that marker when he passed away. But, you know, it's only a matter of time, the beginning and the end of this life for all of us. But in between 1929 and 2017, there was a dash. And it's that in-between time, it's that dash that represents our life. For some, that dash is shorter. I've got a friend whose daughter, it's the anniversary of her death today. 24 years old, killed suddenly in a car accident a number of years ago. Sometimes the dash is really short and sometimes that dash is longer. But it's never open-ended. Never over-ended. And we would be wise to make sure that we don't just live for the dash, but we live for the dash in light of eternity. Because some people will just think that this life, that's all there is that dash. We recognize that we live in that dash in light of eternity. What's that dash that I want to talk to you about, or talk with you this morning about, but not about life and death, about being born and dying, but about our fasting. Because we had publicized it and promoted that from January 8th dash to January 28th, we would be praying and fasting. And right now, we're in that dash. Right now, for the next 13 days, we are in the dash of prayer and fasting. So it's not just how we start and it's not just how we finish, but it's this dash in between. For some of us, we may have started strong with prayer and fasting. For some of us, we may have started slowly. For some of us, we may not have started at all. But I want to be able to talk to us about living here in this dash and discovering the delight, discovering our delight in the dash. Because I believe that we need to find not only victory after the battle, we need to find victory in the battle. And we need to find joy and delight, not just when the fast is over. We need to find joy and delight in the midst of prayer and fasting. Last week I talked about something, a couple points. I talked about to define our desire. And if you were here, if you remember the message, it had to do with, we need to ask the Lord specifically or we need to articulate specifically what we're asking for, define our desire. It had to do with, I told a story about blind Bartimaeus. Do you remember when Jesus came to blind Bartimaeus? And as Bartimaeus comes to Jesus, he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And I talked about how important it is that as we're in this time of prayer, that we're actually being really specific with the Lord. This is what I'm praying for. This is what I'm praying about. I think it's probably not that helpful just to say, "God bless me," or "God, would you bless them?" I mean, what does the Almighty even do with that? But what I would say, articulate, what does God's blessing look like? If you're going to pray, "God bless them," how do we know if that prayer is answered? Be specific. Ask the Lord for his blessing, but then begin to just say, "In this area, bless them about this," and bring our specific requests to God. One of the things that I said last week that I really didn't understand, I felt like I needed to say it, but there was more to it that I understood. It was this phrase about being specific what we're asking for. I said, "What are you praying for? What are you asking for? What do you want to see?" And I said, "This want to see shifted." And I felt like that was a phrase that I needed to say, but I didn't even really understand about what that shifting looks like. And this week as I was praying, I felt like I had this picture. I'll share it with you, and hopefully it'll be meaningful, and hopefully it'll be helpful. As I was praying, I envisioned a doorknob on a door. I don't know if the door was metal or not, but certainly the doorknob was. Metal doorknob and a metal key. And the doorknob was, you could see the slot where the key goes in, and it's just perfectly vertical. But the key, as I was, I don't know if it was in my hand or I could just see this key being pressed towards the doorknob, it was at an angle, probably 22 degrees or so, you know, just not 45, just kind of halfway in there. And it was at this angle, and it touched the doorknob. And I thought, we're praying for breakthrough. We're praying for breakthrough in different areas. But you know, that key, I just don't need to press harder on that key. I don't need to push harder on that key. The answer for whatever that is about is not about breakthrough. It's about alignment. There needed to be a shift. Something needed to shift so simply that key would line up with that slot and go in and open the door. I felt like the Lord was saying to me, for us, God's already given us the key. And it's not about breakthrough. It's about alignment. Something needs to shift. And I don't know if it's a door handle that needs to shift or we need to shift the key. I don't know if it's our perspective. I don't know if it's our approach. I don't know if it's how we're praying. But it's just this concept of we're not just praying for breakthrough. There needs to be alignment. Alignment with his will, alignment with his desires, alignment with his timing, whatever. I'll probably touch on that in a couple minutes. But just that point of it's not just about breakthrough. Breakthrough may not be the answer. It may be about alignment. There needs to be a shift. And whether it's something that shifts in us or whether it's a circumstance that shifts, an attitude, a change, something needs to shift. And so I believe as we're praying and fasting and seeking the Lord, God is going to give us, though he's already given us the key, we just need to understand what to pray about. He's going to reveal that. So our prayer time isn't just about talking and bringing our requests. Our prayer time is about listening. And hearing God's voice. What do you want shifted? Secondly, I talked about determining our discipline. How are you going to respond? And I gave a number of ways that we can respond and considerations. You don't have to fast the same thing for the entire 3 weeks, or just gave some examples. But essentially it was this: be creative, be intelligent, and be intentional. Think through this. Don't just, this is how I fast, this is how I've always fasted, or this is what I can't do. Instead of it being about what you can do, being creative, being intelligent, and being intentional on what can you do. How can you respond? How can we respond? So those were the two things about defining our desire and determining our discipline. Today I want to talk briefly about discovering our delight. Discovering our delight in this time of prayer and fasting. I don't want to get through this with the idea of I can't wait for this to be over. That's an attitude, that's a concern. I've already felt that. I said to my family yesterday, 21 days is a long time. I said that, I was praying and really felt the Lord say that I should have some sugar. I don't want to get to the end of this time and say, I never want to do that again. Because I think it's very important that it's not just how we start and how we finish, is that we discover a delight in this. So we discover a delight that there's joy in the journey. Listen to these phrases, these verses about being in the Lord, and then we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that talks about being in the Lord. It's Psalm 37. If you have your Bibles, we'll be headed towards Psalm 37. But listen to these phrases that are found in the Word of God about being in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Believe in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Be strengthened in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord. Boast in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Speak boldly in the Lord. Labor much in the Lord. You are chosen in the Lord. You are called in the Lord. Glory in the Lord. Testify in the Lord. Minister in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. Exhort one another in the Lord. Have confidence in the Lord. And it talks about those who die in the Lord. I think that phrase makes all the difference. In the Lord. In the Lord. We don't delight in fasting for the most part, but we do delight in the Lord. And we don't delight in sacrifice, but we do delight in the Lord. So in the midst of prayer, fasting, and sacrifice, we can delight in the Lord. Psalm 37, this is where we are this morning. We're not going to be long, but I pray there will be something transformational that takes place as we look at God's Word together. Psalm 37, verse 1 says this: "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of workers of iniquity." Verse 2, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Sometimes it's hard when we look around and we see wicked people prospering, unrighteousness in their lives, and it seems like it's to their advantage. It just seems so unfair. Look at what they get, or look at what they don't get, or look at what they get away with. Scripture tells us, don't fret, don't worry. Don't let this unsettle you when you look around and see wicked prospering. There's a day when Jesus will make all things right. People don't get away with anything. Ever. Not forever. It says, get your eyes off them. Don't fret when you look around and you see the wicked prospering. Watch what it says here, verse 3. It's these next three verses. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Listen to that phrase, feed on His faithfulness. In this time of prayer and fasting, feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. When it says it in verse 3, trust in the Lord, when I looked through and did the search about in the Lord throughout the Bible, you know what? This was the number one thing. It came over and over and over and over again in Scripture. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. There is a problem that I think that sometimes people stumble over when we talk about trusting in the Lord, and it has shipwrecked their faith. because we add, and I've talked about this before, we add something to trusting in the Lord. I am trusting in the Lord, and then we add to it, for this. I am trusting in the Lord for this. I am trusting in the Lord for this. And when whatever this is doesn't turn out like we wanted it to, like we hoped it to, like we were praying about it, like we were needing it to, we get so disappointed with the Lord. Because somehow we've shifted from trusting in Him to trusting in Him for this. And when this doesn't happen, we think He is untrustworthy. I trusted in Him for this, and now I am disappointed with Him over this, and we can't walk together. So many people get disillusioned because I was trusting in the Lord about this. We need to back up that and just say, trust in the Lord. It's trusting in the Lord for who He is. It's in Him. It's not Him in Him to do all the things that we need, we're praying for. And I believe we bring our requests to the Lord. We bring our burdens on Him. But we need to somehow stop. The scripture says just trust in the Lord. In fact, it'll say trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. We're going to close with that verse. But trust in the Lord and who He is. This passage goes on to say, and do good. Don't stop in doing good. Do what you know to do. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Wherever He has placed you, live there. Don't be unsettled. It's like don't fret about the wicked. Don't let that unsettle you. And you don't be unsettled where you live. Trust in the Lord, do good, and feed on His faithfulness. Remember how He has been faithful. And as you remember and recall and enjoy and dwell on His faithfulness, it builds such a faith in your heart and life to say, He has been faithful now, He has been faithful then, He's going to be faithful again. It's who He is, His name, righteous and true. Faithfulness is part of who He is. When I think about that verse, feed on His faithfulness, I don't know about you, but I immediately begin to think about Psalm 23 and this shepherd who is going to allow us to come by still waters, to lie down in green pastures, and to have our soul restored. And I'm praying that that's your experience. I'm praying that's our experience during this time of prayer and fasting, feeding on His faithfulness. It's in this spot of not fretting about others. It's in this spot of stopping to dwell, to abide in this place that He has provided for us and be nourished, that we remember the faithfulness of God, that's when we read this, the next verse, delight yourself in the Lord. Coming into His presence, remembering His faithfulness, trusting in Him. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. Come into His presence and discover, taking time with Him, you get to discover the joy of His presence, the beauty and the closeness and communion with God. We experienced it on Friday night as we gathered together at Shauna's home to pray, invited people to come. We opened it up, everybody invited. I know it was cold. There's a handful of us there. There's such a sweet and a deep presence of the Lord. I remember John just over and over again as he was praying, God, thank you for your presence. The sweetness of your presence. Audrey and I, when we were driving home, we said, "What? That was something about the presence of God." Shauna texted later, said something, isn't the presence of Jesus so good? And it's those moments where we gather together and there's an undeniable awareness of the presence of God that we discover the truth of His word. We experience the truth of His word. In His presence there is fullness of joy. At His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. It says He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. I believe that specifically has to do with the alignment, because the desires of our heart are then aligned, are shifted to be in line with His will, to be in line with His word, to be in line with His timing, to be in line with His agenda. As we commit our way to the Lord, it's a shift that takes place. And our delighting in Him, not only does it affect just how there's this shift, but we also, it says, then commit your ways to the Lord. as we rededicate our commitment to Him. That's what happens. As we're in His presence, as we're delighting in Him, there's this point of surrender again. Lord, I commit my life to You. I follow You. I pray that prayer. I pray a dedication prayer every Sunday we're here. And I pray it not just to lead people, to lead you, to lead us, to invite people who are watching. I pray it for myself. Every week I pray that. Not just reciting the words, but I dedicate my life saying, Lord, come into my life, to every area of my life. Commit Your ways to the Lord. And it says that He will bring, He'll give us the desires of our heart that are now aligned with His, and He will bring it to pass. And that phrase, I love and I struggle with. He will bring it to pass. You know what that means? It means there's a process of time. He will bring it to pass. It helps me understand, it helps us understand that not every prayer is answered instantly. But He is sovereign, and we watch His timing, and we pray, and we lean into doing all that we know to do to intercede and stand in the gap and bring our supplications and our petitions, all our prayers on. But we recognize as we're trusting Him that the things that the desires of our heart that are in line with His word and His will be in line with His timing, but it takes His timing, and that's where it says, and He will bring it to pass. I mean, it just doesn't happen. Sometimes it does. But we can rest in the fact that He is a God of process. He could have said, let there be, and there just was everything. But He took 6 days. He's a God of process, God of order. He will bring it to pass. Then watch what else happens. Verse 6. He shall bring forth your righteousness as light, as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Righteousness as the light. The picture has to do with the dawn is awakening. It's a new day. The darkness is being pushed back, and it's the new day. And it even talks about justice as the noonday. That has to do with when the sun is at its fullest, the sun in its strength. That's what's going to happen. We're going to see it's a new day will dawn with His righteousness and His justice. So we delight in Him, as we trust in Him, as we commit to following Him, a new day dawns, and it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. Scripture tells us this, that the path of the righteous is like the break of dawn or the light of dawn. It gets brighter and brighter. Unless you think it's all up to us. Boy, we got to do all these things. We got to get it right. Watch what it says. Not only is it trust in the Lord or delight in the Lord, but look at what it says in verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. Why? Because He's a God of process. Because He will bring it to pass, but wait patiently for Him. And then here we are again. Do not fret. He reminds us, the psalmist David reminds us again. Hey, remember, do not fret. Because we have a propensity, we lean towards worry, especially when things are out of our control. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Don't fret. Don't worry about it. Cease from anger. Don't get all ramped up about it. Cease from anger. Do not fret. It only causes harm. It only causes harm. No good will come of it. No good comes of worry. No good comes of anxiety. Don't worry about it. Instead, draw near to God. Trust in God. Delight in Him. Commit your ways to Him. He will give you the desires of your heart. As we wait patiently for Him, He will bring it to pass. Rest. Wait. Cease. Cease from worry. It only causes harm. So when you're coming near to the Lord, even bringing our heart's desires, our burdens, our sorrows, our longings, as we cry out to Him, as we cry out to the Lord for breakthrough, as we cry out to the Lord for alignment, do not fret. It only causes harm. Here's a picture I'm going to read for the next 13 days of what I believe the Lord has for you in discovering your delight. And you're discovering your delight in Him. Would you allow this God's word to minister to you as I read it? You will recognize the passage. But rather than be familiar with it, May there be a freshness about these next 13 days from this psalm. It says this. Let this be your testimony. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you haven't started praying and fasting in this season, you still can. If you're choosing not to fast, there's no condemnation. You can still pray. Don't consider it all or nothing. Well, I missed it. I didn't start last week, so it's too late. Don't listen to that lie. You can participate however you are able and discover delight in the Lord in these next couple weeks. The last thing about the shift, I believe that it has to happen. Breakthrough and an alignment has to happen in the spiritual realm before you'll see it in the physical realm. That has to do with prayer. It has to do with the will of God, the timing of God, you hearing the voice of God and praying into it. The battle, the shift, the battle that needs to be won, the shift that needs to be happen, the breakthrough that needs to take place happens in the spiritual realm first. And then we'll see it in the physical realm. So as you pray, as you draw near to him, that's where the change is. It's not, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. It takes place as we put on the full armor of God, as we draw near to him, as we pray with insight, because he's given us the key to see the shift, to see the breakthrough happen, to give us the desires of our heart that he will bring to pass. Let's go ahead and pray. God, thank you that you are the God who hears our prayer. How many times do we say, God, hear our prayer? We know that you are the God who hears. So God, for those who are praying for breakthrough today in things that just there hasn't been any traction on, God, I pray that you would break through that which has been impenetrable before. God, and teach us even how to pray. Teach us how to walk around Jericho. Teach us how to take the promises of God. Teach us how to receive the inheritance that you have promised for the saints. God, we pray that there would be breakthrough as we come to you. God, for alignment, wherever we're off with our attitudes, with our perspectives, with even what we're praying, with how we with our understanding, God, we pray that we would be just so aligned with your will that you would speak to us, oh God, and we would know your plan and your path. You lead us in the path of righteousness for your namesake. God, I pray you would just lead us in this alignment that would unlock the doors that have been closed. God, I pray for family members that we've been reaching out to, that we've been praying for and we haven't seen respond to the gospel, that there's still a coldness, a hardness, there's still a wall, there's still a closed door. Jesus, would you Would you help us to see where the shift needs to take place, God, and that we could pray with insight, with anointing, that we would be Spirit-led. God, would you touch our ears to hear your voice in these next couple weeks? Through your word, by your Spirit, help us to hear your voice, that we'd be able to walk in breakthrough and we'd be able to walk in alignment with you. As we draw near to you, may we discover the light of your presence, for in your presence there's fullness of joy, free from fretting, free from worrying. God, may we, I pray just a grace over our congregation, may we rest in you as we trust in you with all our hearts and lean not our own understanding, as we acknowledge you in all our ways, that you would direct our paths. We pray in Jesus' name.
Pastor Barry already mentioned a little bit about the gathering on Friday evening at my place and just how palpable the presence of the Lord was with us that night. It was just such a strong sense of his presence with us. And as we prayed and praised, I could just feel his presence. And I said to Pastor Barry afterwards, I didn't know if I wanted to sit or to kneel or to stand. I wanted to do them all. It was just such a burning inside of me that night. But for as clearly as we felt the Lord's presence that night, you don't have to be in a prayer meeting or in a gathering to experience the presence of God. In fact, the Bible says that he wants everyone to seek him and to find him, and that he's not far from any of us. God is near. His presence is around us all the time. So this morning, you might be thinking, well, there was a time that I remember having that close walk with God. And you had those deep encounters with him, like the time that we experienced on Friday night. But somehow, over time, and maybe without you even realizing it, you just slipped away from those moments with the Lord. And somehow your love for him kind of grew dim. And you just slipped out of your relationship with him. But today he's calling you back, and you can feel that prompting in your spirit. You can feel that urging inside of you, and that's the voice of the Lord calling you to come home. Or maybe you've never known the Lord like that. Maybe you've never asked Jesus into your life as your Savior. Maybe you've never known what it's like to truly experience God. But today there's a stirring inside of you. Maybe there's something saying to you, I want to know God like that. And maybe today you recognize your need for a Savior. So wherever you're coming from today, Jesus is waiting for you. He's right here, right now, and wherever you are, whether you're here in the building or watching online, he's right there. And if you're ready to ask him into your life, he's more than ready to receive you. So there's a prayer that I'm going to pray, and you can pray it along with me. The words will be on the screen behind me. And whether you choose to pray it out loud or choose to pray it in the quietness of your own heart, the Lord will hear your prayer. And so whether you're praying this for the first time or whether you've prayed it before and you just want to recommit yourself to the Lord today, he will hear you. He knows what you've been through, and he knows where you've been, and he just wants to receive you to himself today. There's no shame. There's no fear, and there's no judgment. Just come and invite him in. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you would pay the penalty for my sin by dying on the cross in my place. I believe you rose to life again and now offer me a new life with you. I ask you to forgive me for my sin and cleanse me from the inside out. I invite you into every area of my life as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live for you all the days of my life. Thank you for forgiving me and thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And if you prayed that prayer today, make sure you tell somebody. If you're at home or online and you're watching, just reach out to us at the church office or to one of the pastors and let us talk to you and let us pray with you. Let us hear from you. And if you're here in the building today, and if you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if you prayed it again as just a recommitment to the Lord, tell somebody. Just talk to us. Come for prayer this morning if you want to. Reach out to the church office, but tell somebody and let us talk to you and pray with you.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.